we also know and we proclaim that Jesus Christ gave us three commands, and in those three commands, all of the scriptures are summed up. And from them, we have our marching orders to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen, church? And unto that is exactly what we shall do here in this first Sunday of Advent. For today, we know as Christians that the hour has come for you to wake up. We now find ourselves in the season of light. That's what Advent represents, the season of light. That's why we put lights on the Christmas tree. That's why we put lights on our house, because the light of the world has come. Amen. Amen. And in His name we go, with the love of God, loving others. And to that we give our lives. Well, today I want to bring a word to you that was actually part of our reading this morning. In fact, each of our Advent sermons is going to be based off of part of the reading that will be taking place when we light the candle. And today we heard that it's time for us to wake up, but there's a whole portion of that scripture that we didn't get to read. So I'd like you to turn there with me today to the book of Romans in the 13th chapter. Romans in the 13th chapter. I don't often preach on this portion of Scripture. In fact, in my time as a pastor, I can honestly say that Romans 13, 1 through 7 have been one of the places, and if you remember a sermon not too long ago, I told you that there are pieces of Scripture that I have a problem with. But it's my problem, it's not God's problem. Can I get an amen, church? And we need to understand that we can all have problems with the Scripture, but that's because of sin in us. That is not sin in God or something He's done wrong. Well, Pastor, why do you have a hard time with this piece of Scripture? I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you after we read it. Let us read from Romans in the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 7. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them. Tax to whom tax is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. So, Pastor, you read that and you have a hard time with that. Yes, I do. Wonder why? Because there are not good people in our governments. God established government. How many of you have ever read the Constitution of this United States? How many of you have ever read the Declaration of Independence? Yeah, please don't be ashamed to raise your hand on those things. That is a proud thing to understand. When we look at how this nation was founded, we see the principles of God. Can I get an amen? But when we look at what the government's doing today, do we see the principles of God? Yeah. I want you to think about this. We live in a nation where a Christian baker, 12 years after the first indictment and a Supreme Court ruling, is still having to deal with the fact of this stupid lawsuit that's against him for not making a cake for a same-sex couple. The Supreme Court's already ruled, but it's still in the court system. Is there something wrong? Yes. You see, this is why I have a hard time with this, and God and I wrestle around this one, okay? This is like me and God, you know, as Jacob was with God when he wrestled on the other side of the river. And I'm waiting for the Lord to touch my thigh and make me lame, because it's one of those deals where I'm going to wrestle with this because we deal with corrupt people. Can I get an amen? But when the law is good, and good is coming from the law, which I'm talking the laws of man, we're to follow them. How many of you obey the speed limit? Yeah, I've got honest opinions coming at me right now. And you out there as well, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We break the law. Even good people break the law. Okay? How many of you on your way to church today broke the law? I got people telling on themselves. The reality is, the law is here to keep us safe if it's a good moral law. But when laws become immoral, those are not laws that we should stand by. And that's where I have the problem with this piece of scripture. It's not God that I have a problem with. It's man that I have a problem with. Can you understand that? So you understand then why I have a problem when I say that, you know, Lord, I want to obey the law. I want to do what is good. You know, I want to pay my taxes. But they keep asking for more. Right now it's at 50%. And people look at me and say, oh, no, it's not 50%. Start calculating it, folks. You pay income taxes. That's 17% right off the top. And then you pay taxes on what you've bought with the money you've already paid taxes on. Start adding it up. Start understanding. And then you get a telephone. And all of a sudden you're paying taxes on a telephone. Why am I paying taxes on a telephone? I've already been taxed on the money. I'm being taxed on the service. And now there's extra taxes tacked on. Well, because they can. So when we start looking at how this compounds, you can understand why Pastor has a hard time with this. But we need to wake up. There needs to be a time of justice. There needs to be a time of light where we are reckoning unto ourselves, because we have allowed this stuff to take place. We are to be children of light. We are to be awake. We are to be seeing the things of God. And we need to understand that it is not our responsibility to pay for the world. Can I get an amen, church? And that's what's happening in this, our United States. Our deficit is now over $1 trillion. I'm not talking billions, I'm talking trillions. And that is the payment on the debt to it. Because it's actually several trillions of dollars that we owe. The debt on it, the interest on it, is over $1 trillion a year. Do you realize that our grandchildren's grandchildren will still be paying for that? Hence, I have a problem with this piece of scripture, but not with God, because God established all these things. But what did man do with it? So therefore, we need to be children of light. We need to walk in light. We need to be people who are awake, and we need to be out there doing what is right within our communities to get this known and to get things changed. Can I get an amen? The church stepped back from these things years ago and allowed crooked men and women to take the place of good men and women. Hence, career politicians. That is something that should not be in our day. We should understand it and have it taken out. But who makes that happen? We do. That means we need to be awake and we need to start moving. Children of Christ, I'm telling you all, we need to be awake and we need to start moving. We live in daylight. We see the evil. We understand the evil. And we know the evil and can point it out. We need to do just that, okay? I need us all to understand from the book of Acts in the 4th chapter in the 19th verse, we are told by Peter and John, it is better to obey God than obey man. What was being talked about there? They were told they could not preach Jesus Christ anymore. And they said, no, we would rather obey God and go to jail than obey men and dishonor God. And those are the things where you and I need to walk. And it's a tough place to walk, because that means that I've got to do things that may be deemed illegal because the government has made a ruling on such a thing. Well, guess what? As we get closer and closer to the time of Christ and the rapturing of the church, we're going to see these things. We're told we're going to see these things, and we are seeing these things. There is all kinds of persecution going on. Do you realize in the history of our nation, there have only been two presidents who have not thanked God at Thanksgiving? Do you realize that? There's only ever been two that did not thank God for the blessings of this nation. Does anybody know who they were? Barack Obama and Joe Biden. Yes, I name names. It's the truth. Dr. Dobson reminded us, he sent out an article, I don't know if you get Dr. Dobson's news, but Dr. Dobson reminded us that someone needs to remind Joe Biden that we do not thank the American people for what America is. We thank Almighty God for what He has done in our midst. Can I get an amen? Amen. For the nation that we have is one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Not one nation under man, one nation under God. Again, we fight not against flesh and blood. We need to understand that we are truly fighting against powers and principalities that use people. So again, it's understanding. I don't want you thinking that pastor's telling us that we need to revolt and we need to beat these people up and all that stuff. You remember Joe said he was going to take Trump out behind the barn? Yeah, well, there would have been one walking out and it wouldn't have been Joe. But you and I need to understand, we're not taking anybody behind the barn. We're taking it to our knees in Jesus Christ. And then we're getting up and we're putting one foot in front of the other because it's time for the church to wake up. We need to get involved in what's happening in our areas. We need to get involved in the school systems. We need to get involved in our children's lives for the perpetuity of their Christian faith and the Christian foundation of this nation. Because that is what drew everyone to the United States, was the fact that in Christ we have freedom. Because in Christ, He gives us the boundaries by which to live, and in them is freedom. For if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Can I get an amen, church? And when we operate in that, all is good. And the country grows, and it is a country of blessing. But when we turn to ourselves and what we want and what we can do, I mean, I saw this article and I just loved it. How does any congressman become a millionaire on the salary that they make? Can somebody explain that to me? Because I sure ain't becoming a millionaire on the salary that I make. So I have a problem with this piece of scripture, but it is not with God, it is with men. And my eyes are open, and I pray yours are too. And we need to get involved. We need to be working in that which is to be. Well, what is that which is to be? Do you believe it or not? This scripture actually tells us. Look back to the book of Romans, and we're going to read verses 8 through 10. Verses 8 through 10. It says, "Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. If there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law." As we love one another in Jesus Christ, looking at the person, not the sin, amen? We love the person, we don't love the sin. And we pass righteousness onto that person, looking to them, helping them, guiding them, showing them the hope that we have. They too then can become awake. Awake by what? By the light of Jesus Christ shining in their lives. We are a light unto the world. Jesus said he is the light of the world, and he gave himself to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And every one of us walks in that Holy Spirit power. We are in the midst of the lighting of the candles of Advent. For what? To demonstrate the coming of that light. And that light is coming again, and he's not coming as a suffering servant. He's coming as a conquering king. And when he comes that time, Scripture's very clear. He shall rule with an iron fist. Does that sound like a suffering servant anymore? Absolutely not. That is a king who is going to rule in justice. And we shall all see him, for we will be coming with him, because we will be in his train as he comes to conquer earth that final time. For the bride of Christ comes in as Christ comes in to this world. And you and I are that bride of Christ. But then, Pastor, how should we act? What's it being talked about here? Do you realize the entire chapter of Romans 14 literally lays that out for us? Now, I'm going to read some of it. I'm not going to read the whole of it, but I'm going to read some of it. It says, "Now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat, and the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord, and he who eats does so for the Lord. For he gives thanks to God, and he who eats not for the Lord, he does not eat, and gives thanks to God. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. Or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. To this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. But you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For as it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God.' So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God." Blessed be the word of our Lord. I was going to read more. I was going to read to verse 19, but it's a repetition of the very first thing that I just read, just in a different form. You and I need to understand what's being talked about here. Is he literally talking about food? Yes, he is. But he's giving us a for instance, because we need to look at all of life in this regard. We need to look at all of the things that God speaks of, whether it's food, whether it's sexual immorality, whether it's adultery, whatever it may be. And if God says good, it is good. And if God says it's no good, it is no good. Can we get an amen, church? Now, as a person who comes to Christ, how many of you, how many of me out here in this world, how many of you out there in the world, when you first came to Christ, man, you thought all this stuff was open to you, and as you grew in your faith, you realized, oh, I can't do that anymore. Oh, my goodness, why? I can't do that anymore. Because as we grow, we begin to learn, don't we? We're just like little kids. We've got to learn all of it over again. Why? Because we learned improperly. Our parents tried to teach us well, but how many of our parents were sinless? Aren't you glad now you have a father who is completely and totally sinless, and he is going to teach you from the first day you walk with him until the last day you walk with him? And in that last day, he doesn't reject us. What does he do? He makes us whole and wholly his. through the resurrection of Jesus Christ and our entering in to the kingdom of eternity. We are to love one another where you find one another. You know, don't try to change somebody before you accept them. Bring them in. They may have purple hair. They may have tattoos, and you all know I have tattoos. They may have piercings. They may have whatever they have. I don't care. You accept them where they are. We don't accept their sin. Can I get an amen? Just as I don't want you accepting my sin. When I'm doing 75 and a 55, I need to hear somebody say, "Pastor, slow down." Yes, Root, I know you're laughing. Yes, I was with the two dear sisters when I got a speeding ticket. I tell on myself. I'm not ashamed to do so. But I try to do better. And that's where we all are. And that's where we need to remember the world is. Because there are people who are going to talk to you about the things of the world. And in that, you get an open door to talk to them about the things of Christ. Because He rules the things of this world. And we are of a different kingdom. And it's introducing those people to that kingdom, allowing them to see the light that has dawned in us. For those walking in the land of darkness, a great light has dawned. And that light was the light of Jesus Christ when He shone on us. And He illuminated us to the darkness and depravity that was in and through each and every one of us. And I hate to say it, but He's still working on it, isn't He? And we have to think of all the peoples of the world in the same manner. That's why we love everybody, but we hate the sin. Love the sinner, hate the sin. And in that we walk in the love of Jesus Christ. That's exactly what He did while He was here. What did He do to the woman who was found in adultery? Did He pick up a stone and stone her? Absolutely not. He gazed upon her and said to the men who wanted to stone her, "Let he who is without sin cast the first stone." Well, at that moment, He should have reached down, picked up a stone, and nailed her. Did He? Absolutely not. Why? I want you to think about something. Where was she? We don't think about this stuff. Where was she? She was at His feet. I want you to think about that. What did I just say? She was at His feet. She was at His mercy. And what did He give her? Judgment or grace? Grace. Why? Because of where she was. She was at His feet. And that's where we all have to come. And we don't receive judgment. What do we receive when we are at His feet? Grace. And God says, "Now get up and sin no more." And that's where we need to be, loving our neighbor in just such a way as we have been loved. That's what's being talked about here. He uses food because we all have to eat. Amen. Some of us more than others. And in it we find the hope and the freedom that we gain through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And to it we come then again to the word of Romans, because now you understand that we're to honor the government. We're to walk with the government as the government is right, as the authorities are right. And we need to be awake to change the government, to bring it back to that place of being right. How do we do that? By loving everyone, accepting them where they are, but helping them to move into a right relationship. That's what it's all about. So then what are we to be? We are to be, as we read earlier, turning back in your book of Romans to the 13th chapter, reading from 11 through 14. "Do this knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. We need to be people who are awake. We need to get out of the darkness and into the light. For who does in the light what is done in darkness? No one, because we don't want anybody to see it. Can I get an amen? But yet it's still there. It's in us. That is the innate sin nature within each and every human being. But we need to be reminded. Oh my goodness, did that sound Dutchified or what? We need to be reminded that we are children of light now. And we walk in the light. And you're going to struggle. Paul talked about it. Y'all know I love to talk about Paul and the doo-doos. The things I want to do, those are the things I don't want to do. And the things I don't want to do, they're the things that I do do. So we struggle. There's a battle that's going to go on. And we need to remember we have already won the battle, for the victory has been won through Jesus Christ, who has said, I have overcome the world. Therefore, take heart. And as we walk in that truth, this Advent season, I pray each and every one of us will remember who and whose we really are. And that the purpose for this season is not the giving of gifts under a Christmas tree. It is the giving of the greatest gift that was ever given, the Son of God delivered unto man to die once for the propitiation of all sin, that all who would believe may receive the forgiveness of God. Didn't we just sing that song? Can I get an amen? Brothers and sisters, it is Advent. And in this Advent, I want you to remember the word of the Lord. Please turn in your Bibles. I have to go to Christ's words himself. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Mark. To the book of Mark, chapter 13. The book of Mark, chapter 13. If my fat fingers would let me get there. Verses 28 through 37. From the word of our Lord Jesus Christ, we hear this plea made unto each and every one of us. For he says to us, now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. Even so, you too, when you see these things happening, recognize that he is near, right at the door. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Take heed, keep on alert, for you do not know when the appointed time will come. It is like a man away on a journey, who upon leaving his house and putting his slaves in charge, assigned to each one his task, also commended the doorkeeper to stay on the alert. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening, at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning. In case he should come suddenly and find you asleep, what I say to you, I say to all, be on the alert. Brothers and sisters, we all know that this piece of scripture is talking about the second coming of the Christ, not the first coming, because Jesus was already here and he was speaking that. And we can see that we are in that day and time. We are in that season right now. More prophecies are being fulfilled within the scriptures concerning the end time than any time ever in the lifetime of mankind. We are looking at the Psalm 89 war. We are looking at the Ezekiel war of Gog and Magog. All these things are coming into fruition. The nations around Israel are in an uproar because Israel is trying to defend herself from Hamas and wipe out that which was given away. Please remember, we got to have a two-state solution. So Israel said, okay, we'll give this piece of land. From 2006 until today, October 7th of 2023, what was happening in Israel? Rockets would be coming over. Terrorists would be sending bombs, throwing bombs, driving car bombs. Israel had no peace. And then the worst day since the German Holocaust happened on the 7th, and the world's in an uproar because Israel's defending itself. Folks, I never saw Afghan put anything on our soil, and we went to Afghanistan. Where was the world's indignation upon us? The reason it doesn't like Israel is because Israel is the heartbeat of God. And you all better remember that. Because this is all about Satan. This is all about Satan and his Antichrist coming up. And it's happening. It's here. It's now. It's time to wake up, because we don't have long until that trumpet is going to blast. For at the last trump, we shall be raised incorruptible, in the twinkling of an eye. And we don't know when it's coming, so we've got a short time to get her done. And I'm telling you right now, I do not want to see any one of my friends, family, loved ones go to hell. And I'm going to tell you right now, as I have explained to many of you, you have become my family. Because God has given you unto me to care for you, to love you, to be one of His sheep. And me, the under-shepherd, I'm going to love you with the full heart of God. And I'm going to say some pretty doggone tough things to you. And you better suck it up, cupcake, because I ain't going to stop. Because God hasn't stopped on me. Can we all get an amen on that? And I'm talking about you when I say that. I'm not talking about me. The Lord has not given up on any one of us, and we are not to give up on this world, the people of this world, not the one who's trying to run it. Remember, in Christ Jesus, we have gotten back our authority that Adam gave away. We walk in that new covenant of grace, hope, and power. And it abides in us and through us, for the Holy Spirit abides in us and through us and lives in our very being. And we need to be the expression of that grace out into this world. Each and every one of us needs to understand the time has drawn short. Evening is about over. The dawn is about to break. And that's when things get the darkest. Have you ever noticed that? Right before the dawn is when everything seems the darkest in our lives. And you know I'm talking spiritually, I'm not talking physically. Why is that? Because the evil one knows if he can pour out and pour out and pour out before your eyes see the breaking of the day, he can get you. But if we will hold fast to what we know and whom we have believed, I am convinced that he is able to guard that which I have entrusted unto him. Until that day, can I get an amen? Until that what? That day when the sun rises once again. And guess what? The sun comes up every day. And today's the day. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. Today is the day that I want us to remember. Because in this day, we have the hope of the Lord. And in this day, this is our season to shine. Okay? I'm going to say this, and people ain't going to like me for it. They gave the veterans one day for Veterans Day to remember the men and women who gave their lives. We all live here in Lebanon County. We know, because Fort Indian Town Gap is right up here. We know the National Cemetery is up here. And I just found this out. I did not know this. There are 43,000 soldiers buried at Fort Indian Town Gap. 43,000. And you know that number's growing because more and more are passing and being buried every day. But that I just read that because I wanted to have an idea. You know, when I'm doing my research, I like to do thorough research. 43,000 burials at Indian Town Gap. That's just one of our national cemeteries. We get one day. How many days do we get to give thanks to God? One day. I look at this and I think to myself how sick I am, because how many days did they give for the LGBTQ community? A whole month. Well, guess what? God has given us a month. It's called Advent. And it's been here before any of these others. Can I get an amen? We need to remember who and whose we are. This world may celebrate something, but does the church celebrate something? And the answer is yes. We celebrate the coming of the light of Jesus Christ. For 4 weeks, we celebrate the coming of the light because we know he's coming again. So let us be awake and let us walk as woke people, not woke people, as awake people. I wondered how many of you would get that when I said it, and several of you did. The smiles came out right away. We are not woke, we are awake in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Turn in your Bibles to my last scripture that I want to give to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. For as we walk, we are to walk as men and women of faith, and in that faith may we be found faithful. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Again, we're being reminded here of the Apostle Paul of where we truly are. For he says to us from verse 1 in chapter 5, as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet and the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another just as you are also doing. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he will also bring it to pass. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Now we were told in the book of Mark that we are to put on the armor of the Lord. What were we just told to put on here? The breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of salvation. Each and every one of us needs to understand you cannot stand against the devil's schemes on your own. We must come in the full armor of Christ. And the armor of Christ is light. The armor of Christ is the holiness of God. It is light. And that light shines in you, for the Holy Spirit is in you. And when you allow him to come out, the world sees and knows who and whose you are. So today, as we come to that close, may we remember from the words of Mark. Turn in Mark chapter 12. I want you all to read this. You all know it. Each and every one of you here at the Heart of Christ Church knows this. And I want you to read it with me, not just read it, let me read it. I want you to read it with me. Mark chapter 12, verses 29 through 31. Mark chapter 12, not Matthew. And Jesus answered, The foremost is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Blessed be the word of our Lord. Did you notice in there that it says we're to love the Lord our God with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our heart, and with all our strength? There are two spiritual things that are given to us there, the soul and our strength. But then there are two physical things given there, our heart and our mind. Where are we to put the armor? Over our heart, the breastplate of faith and love, and the helmet of salvation, the mind. Because if Satan can get to your mind, he can change your heart. And if he gets to your heart, he'll change your mind. We need to protect these two things in the love of God, because when we love God in such a way that we love Him with our mind, we know who He is and we know whose we are, and we hold fast to that. God will see to it that our soul remains with Him and that our strength is given through Jesus Christ. It's time to wake up, church. It's time to understand that darkness is all around us and we are the light of the world through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So today, this first Sunday of Advent, walk in the light of the Lord. Receive it today. And may that light never go out, for it is the eternal light of God, in whose name we come, Jesus the Christ. And the church says, let's pray. Father God, we thank you that we are children of light and that we live in this time of light. This is our month. This is our month to prepare the world for the coming. And Lord, we don't know how much time there is until you come again. But until that coming, we will preach the name of Jesus Christ. We will proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, the love of His heart unto a world that is lost. And we will give ourselves to you, Lord, that you may live your life through each and every one of us. We pray, Father, for the strength of your power, for the mercy of your might, and for the grace of your glory, that we could be these things unto a world that is filled with darkness, that light may come, and from that light, the life therein. And that life is Jesus, our Christ, in whose name we pray. And the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.